What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It gives me great pleasure to welcome you back once again to Fighting Fire with Fire, the AJ Rose Show. At time of recording, it is 10:21 p.m. on Monday, April 10th, 2023. And with me on the other line, on the other coast, on the other end of this Zoom call, trying out a 7-day free trial so we can record for more than 40 minutes is my buddy, my partner in grime, Sam Hannon. Sam, say hi to the people.
What is up? It is good to be back. How many years has it been? I think we said we were going to do a consistent pod, like maybe every week or every
There's,
other week.
The only consistency of this pod is us consistently saying we're going to do consistent pods and then consistently not doing that. That is the only constant fighting fire with fire.
My therapist told me that I need consistency. So it sounds like we have like some sort of consistency, right?
It's a start, you know? You got to start somewhere, including the fact
you do,
including the fact that you consistently watch the NBA now. You're an NBA outsider guy now. Insider guy?
I'm what I'm calling. Yeah, no. I am an NBA outsider because I am from the outside looking in. It's all subjective.
Yes.
There's no Celtics biases here.
Zero.
Zero.
We're looking at this. There's no green goggles. We're looking at this as objectively as possible, he said with his fingers crossed. All right. So we have a plan. We have a vague outline, a vague plan for what we're going to do on this podcast. And it's really good to see your face, Sam. I'm glad you're well. I hope that you and Janelle and your two cats are doing great in LA. It was a beautiful mid-60s and sunny day here in Boston, Massachusetts. It's Marathon Monday in a week. It's a
no way.
Absolutely. It's Marathon Monday in a week
already. Holy shit.
Your boy is hosting karaoke on Sunday night in Southie. I'm inviting lots of people to try and just
have
ourselves a night before Marathon Monday. Very exciting stuff. In any case, we are going to preview the play-in games in the only way that we know how, and that is we are going to rank the 8 play-in teams by vibes. Okay, so let's break down for the people what the play-in matchups are, in case you weren't aware. Tomorrow night, April 11th, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m., or rather, by the time people hear this, it will be Tuesday, April 11th. So tonight at 7:30 p.m., the Atlanta Hawks visit the 7-seeded Miami Heat in Miami, and then at 10 o'clock, the Minnesota Timberwolves play the Los Angeles Lakers in Los Angeles at Crypto.com Arena, formerly the Staples Center. Then on Wednesday, April 12th, the Bulls play the Raptors and the Thunder play the Pelicans. The Bulls play the Raptors in Toronto. The Thunder play the Pelicans in Nollins. So those are our 4 play-in games. But we have to start because I believe that our list of teams based on vibe, Sam, if we're going in reverse order from 8 to 1, is going to have the same team at number 8. And I'm going to just clear out for you to talk
about
number 8.
So number 8, the T-Wolves. Probably
the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Probably the worst way that you can enter into the playoffs, let alone the play-in tournament.
That I've ever seen.
The softest big man in the league, Rudy Gobert, punching Kyle Anderson near his throat. Suspended. What can you do? What's worse for the vibes than a physical altercation on your own team's bench? Like, what is possibly worse for the vibes?
I don't know. Maybe if you traded 5 first-round picks for that guy that threw that punch?
I got to say, like, the probably 3 or 4 games I watched the T-Wolves this year, I was unimpressed by Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Seriously unimpressed.
He did not make the all-star team. He's not going to make an all-defense team. He did play better after a bad first month and steadied the Minnesota defense. However, he has certainly not been nearly worth what Minnesota gave up to get him, especially in light of the fact that one of the people they gave up, Walker Kessler, is going to finish first team all rookie and probably 3rd on a lot of people's rookie of the year ballots behind Paolo Banchero and the Oklahoma City Thunder's Jalen Williams, who will be in this play-in tournament, which should be exciting. And Rudy Gobert he clearly did not have a great relationship with Donovan Mitchell in Utah. And now he clearly just is not just a beloved teammate. We'll say that.
He's not really great at earning the trust of his teammates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like with the COVID stuff, now punching your teammate, not a good look. So I got the T-Wolves in the last spot. They've got zero chance. They're an 8-point dog against the Lakers in LA.
Is it
The
only eight?
Lakers are,
It's only eight.
it's only eight. It's only eight. Yeah. The other, just for context here, like the other dogs we got are the Hawks, the Bulls, and the Thunder. They're all 5-point dogs on the road.
Hawks, Bulls, Thunder. I think there's a chance the Thunder could beat the Pelicans without Zion, and I think there's a chance the Bulls could beat the Raptors, but that's because those are between the ninth and tenth best teams in their respective conferences. Those teams ostensibly are just not good, you know?
Right.
And if we're going backwards from 8 to 1 in terms of ranking these teams by vibe, I
Who you
think
got for
that
seven?
the team in number seven is the Chicago Bulls, because the Chicago Bulls are in no man's land. They don't have a sense of direction. They don't, I
Nope.
guess they've been playing better recently. And you could argue for a number of teams here in this spot. You could argue for the Pelicans because they lost to that Timberwolves team after Rudy Gobert got sent home at
Yep.
halftime. You could argue for the Hawks because the Hawks were within one game of 500 for like 2 straight months. They were 13 and 13. They won and then lost every other game for 2 straight months. They didn't have a two game winning
Yep.
streak or losing streak. It's craziness. But I'm going with the Bulls because it's just hopeless, man. And the Chicago is one of the biggest markets in the NBA, and they have not been relevant in a good period of time, probably since Derrick Rose's injuries. And that stinks because I like it when the Bulls are good, because I like it when the other East Coast cities
They
actually are good rivals for the Celtics. Now, granted, they walloped the Celtics a couple times this year, but I don't expect much of them.
we'll get to that, because when we get to just the playoff picture and everything and the seeding and in the East, like the Celtics had some stinkers this year. They had like what, eight stinker games that we should have probably won.
Sure, but isn't that the case with most NBA teams over the course of a grueling 82-game season? You know, a
Right,
lot of
but
stinkers.
I don't, yeah, I don't want to get it. I don't want to get a ahead of the ball here, but those back-to-back Orlando games really stood out to me this year. I mean, those were like important games
The
in the
back-to-back
scheme
home
of things.
Orlando games, definitely. And I think maybe we can think of the Bulls and the Pelicans and the Hawks as a 1-2-3, and maybe the Raptors too, as just bad vibes, but not quite as bad as the Timberwolves, right? Bad vibes
Right.
for the Hawks, Bulls, Raptors, and Pelicans. The Raptors, like Nick Nurse, it seems like doesn't have as much of a
That's
grip
my
on that locker room. Is that your pick?
six. My six is the Raptors. And because Nick Nurse, he's floating that this could be his last season coaching the Raptors, maybe his last season coaching ever. And then Kyle Lowry, just kind of towards the end of his career,
Kyle
not
Lowry
quite the
is
same
on the
player he
Heat.
was. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
What are you
sorry.
thinking
I'm
of?
getting my wires crossed
You're
here.
getting your
No,
wires
no,
crossed here. Kyle Lowry is on the
I
Heat.
was thinking of Kyle Lowry, but
Now, the Heat are going to
oh,
be
his
on this list
Toronto
because they are in
days.
this play-in. But
Yeah.
Fred Van Vliet had a down year.
Yeah.
Scottie Barnes, obviously progress isn't linear, but he didn't have the sophomore season that I think a lot of people wanted him to have. He's still quite talented, and they still have Masai Ujiri as their GM, who I trust to make some moves and not be stagnant. But the vibes for the Raptors have not been good pretty much the whole year, even though they traded for Jakob Poeltl, and he clearly gave them a little bit of help. And I think they are going to beat the Bulls. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they are going to beat the Bulls.
I think so too.
And you've got the
We
Pelicans
got
who
a five.
are just waiting. The New Orleans Pelicans this is their second year in a row limping into the play-in without Zion. And it just is, that's sad, man. We just want Zion to play. We just
Yeah,
want the
it's a
man to
bummer.
play. I understand that Brandon Ingram's played better recently and that they had an absolutely killer stretch in the middle of the season when they lost 10 games in a row at one point. They were awful for a month and a half at least, and then they've righted the ship a little bit towards the end. But this is not where they wanted to be. This is not where Coach Willie Green wanted them to be. This is not where what CJ McCollum had envisioned going into the year. And I just want every NBA team, because the talent pool is so deep, to be able to flex their stuff. And the Pelicans cannot do that without
What do you
Zion.
Think? Okay, so Pelicans, Lakers, you're taking the Lakers just straight up.
It is the Wolves and the Lakers. I do think that the Pelicans are going to beat the Thunder, because the Thunder, despite having the best player in that game, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they can't rebound. They can't rebound. And in the playoffs, rebounding is quite important. Do you know who the Thunder's leading rebounder was this year? It was a guy named Josh Giddey, who's good. He's good, and he's 20 years old, but he's averaged 7.9 rebounds a game. You know, they did not have any rebounders. Them and the Pelicans should be an entertaining game. I think the Pelicans win that game, and Jonas Valanciunas has like 20 plus rebounds. The real game to talk about is the Lakers Timberwolves game, because there's going to be no Jaden McDaniels. We buried the lead that Jaden McDaniels for the Timberwolves. The second most significant punch thrown by a Minnesota Timberwolf in
yesterday,
the second quarter of game 82 of the regular season, was Jaden McDaniels punching a wall and fracturing his hand, being out for the playoffs. God, that stinks.
Are you kidding me?
It just looks
much
worse. Like, how many people have
punched
in frustration and like nothing happens? Just happens to be.
What do you think?
Your hand.
What's the spread there in your mind? Like the Lakers Wolves game, how big are the Lakers winning? I think the Lakers are winning it outright, obviously.
You know, the Wolves don't have Gobert for that game because they suspended him as a team, and they don't have McDaniels, and they don't have excellent backup center Naz Reid, who was super entertaining to watch for most parts of the year. So they're not going to be able to deal with Anthony Davis. They're going to have Karl Anthony Towns guard Anthony Davis, and Karl Anthony Towns just gets in foul trouble all the time. He's going to have three fouls on him in the first quarter. You know, it's dire straits.
Yeah. This is probably like the worst of all the playing games, just due to the circumstances.
Yes. And it's also the one I want to watch the most. And I think that the only equalizer for the Timberwolves is if they make 20 plus three pointers. And that's the great equalizer in any given NBA game, is the 3-point variance can just, for one game in a play-in game, it's not like a 7-game series against the Lakers. It's one game.
Yep. What do you, so we're through the worst four vibes teams.
We're through the, Here's your top. Here's your top.
Here's number four.
Number four. Let's say, so let's say that we had the Timberwolves at 8. We had the Bulls at
Raptor,
six, Raptors
Bulls
at
at
six,
seven,
the
Raptors
Pelicans
at
at
six.
five. That means that gives us the Hawks somehow at four. Why are the Hawks fourth by default? Are their vibes much better than the teams below?
They're a big time middle of the pack, regardless of how we're measuring them, right? Like they are that uninspiring. Just let's throw them at four. Why not? Yeah.
And they have dudes on their team, but the Trae Young, DeJounte Murray thing hasn't worked to the degree that they would have liked, obviously. And I enjoy Onyeka Okongwu, their backup big. And sometimes I like DeAndre Hunter when he's on the court, but I don't think that they're going to beat. They don't have the cojones, in my mind, in your mind, in a lot of people's minds, to beat the Miami Heat, who we're penciling in to beat the Hawks, even though the Hawks are probably top to bottom a more talented NBA team than the Heat are, because of Jimmy Butler and Bam
Adebayo.
The Heat are
just mentally built for these types of games.
Absolutely.
You know, and the Hawks are not. So it's just an easy, that's not even a toss up for me. I think Miami takes that game. I'd be surprised. That's actually, I mean, obviously as a Seas fan, like that's the game that I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Celtics
that's the game
fans
that I'm.
We'll be rooting for Trae Young to just get hot and hit 8 35 footers, you know.
But then again, like, give me Miami.
Yeah,
just give me Miami.
The,
you know, like we can't be scared of anyone.
The scared is the wrong word, but just wary of a team's experience, especially head coach Eric Spoelstra, who probably pound for pound is the best coach in the NBA and has been for a period of time. The Heat are number three on the list of vibes teams. The number two
You
team.
think? Wait, you think the Heat are number three?
The third best vibes of all these eight playing teams. Yeah,
Okay,
absolutely.
that's fair. That's fair.
Absolutely. They're the third best because they just, Caleb Martin's their fourth best player and they're still the seventh seed. And I know they had their offense has been bad this year, but in the playoffs, you end up having to win the occasional 92-90 slugfest. And Miami drags you down into the mud with them and tries to force a bunch of live ball turnovers. And Jimmy Butler tries to shoot 15 free throws. And Bam is just everywhere defensively. And Tyler Hero comes in and gets hot. And Kyle Lowry draws three charges, even though he's in the restricted area or something. Or, you know, you try and post Kyle Lowry up. And as soon as you put your shoulder into him, he flies backwards like he just got blown away. And then all of a sudden you lose. And that's what he'd do. And I expect them to execute that against the Hawks. But they're the third best vibes because the Oklahoma City Thunder are the second best vibes.
They're the second best vibes. I would have had them at two or three. So yeah. Miami, it's interchangeable for me because Miami's got all those,
grizzled veterans.
And yeah, Udonis Haslem on the bench, Spoelstra. I mean, they're built for the playoffs, right? So two or three for me is fine, but definitely OKC's in the top three and easily we can put them at two here. You got Shea, you got Josh Giddey. Like you Jalen just got Williams. A young Jalen Williams. You got a young squad that's hungry. And being that 9 and 10 seed too, that's fucking tough, man. Like having to win back to back must win games. That is like playoffs intensified.
It's what the Pelicans did last year. They had to win two games last year and they did, and then they ended up pushing the Phoenix in round one. And if the Thunder get something like that, if they can win against the Pelicans, and they'll have the best player in that game. And you could argue if they play the Wolves with Gobert back in the second game, that's super winnable. The Wolves are not world beaters.
They're in shambles.
The Thunder could easily find themselves in the playoffs as the eight seed playing the Nuggets in round one, who haven't proven they can play good playoff defense. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to make first team all NBA. He's absolute butter. You cannot prevent him from getting to his spot. And they have Chet Holmgren. They're also just in a great spot going forward because they have Chet Holmgren coming back year for to give them the big man rebounder center that they need. And I can't wait to see how they all improve together. It's a similar spot to where they were in 2010 when they were making the playoffs for the first time with Durant and Westbrook and Harden.
What I'd say about the Thunder, like the Thunder make it to the eight seed, right? I think that they beat the Pelicans and then I think that they play the Wolves. I think getting to that eight seed is doable. They play the Nuggets. They push the Nuggets to a six game series.
You think so? You're just going to say they're going to win that? Not you're in prediction time. You know, Sam, you're saying they're going to beat the Pelicans, beat the Wolves, who are going to get, you know, walloped by the Lakers. And then they go and they take a game, nay, two games from the Nuggets.
I think so.
I don't know if they're taking a game from the Nuggets because Jokic is a load. Again, I don't know how
you think they're going to get swept straight up.
I mean, they could easily just lose to the Pelicans. I think we disagree. I think the Pelicans are going to beat them. Like I'm saying, they could. Could is a word that gets thrown around for playing games all the time.
Yeah,
but regardless, Oklahoma City has the second best vibes of all these play-in teams. And I want to watch them because they are confident. Young, confident teams are fun to watch. And how confident do these other teams with their vibes seem? Do the Raptors and Pelicans and Hawks and Bulls exude confidence to you? They don't. The Heat,
despite the situation,
do exude confidence.
These are teams that have just flown under the radar for me, you know, like I've watched them play. It doesn't feel like it's anything special. They are where they are, right? They're in the play-in. Like they don't exude confidence at all to me. OKC is a gritty young team. I like them.
Mm-hmm. And they get out in transition. They force a lot of turnovers. It could be exciting. Very exciting. That's what we want. But the team with
have
the
we ever had an eight seed?
Have we ever had an
Beat
eight
a
seed
one
knock
seed?
off a one? Yes, a couple times in NBA history. The 1999 New York Knicks beat the eight seeded Knicks beat the number one seed of Miami Heat. Granted, that was a lockout shortened 50 game season. Then you had the We Believe Warriors, the eighth seeded Baron Davis led Golden State Warriors, Jason
Yep.
Green, Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes. They beat the number one seeded Dallas Mavericks, who won 67 games and Dirk won his MVP that year in 06-07.
Jesus
The Warriors.
Christ.
The Warriors beat them in six games. That was an 8-1. And then in 2011, you had the Memphis Grizzlies beat the eighth seeded Memphis Grizzlies beat the number one seeded San Antonio Spurs with Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol and Conley.
Jesus.
Yeah, how about that off
That's a
top?
squad. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's how you do it. And the Grizzlies would have beaten the Spurs in five. As an eight over a one, if it weren't for Gary Neal, who hit a game tying buzzer beating three to send game five into overtime, and eventually Memphis won in six. The team with the number one vibes in this play-in, far and away, are your Los Angeles Lakers. And boy, did we not think we would be here talking about them like that a couple months ago when they were in the dregs of dealing with Russell Westbrook and LeBron was breaking the scoring record for a bad team, and the vibes were horrendous.
This was a team that was barely flirting with 500 for what felt like months. And I thought that they wouldn't make the playoffs, honestly. You offload Russell Westbrook
Who's
and
who's doing decent for the Clippers, and I'm like happy that he's had a couple good games for them, by the way.
yeah, he's there have been a couple games where he's looked really good.
He
Like
had
the
30.
athleticism that we remember.
Yeah, and it like I root for all these guys, for almost every NBA player, I root for them, you know? And Westbrook, his stubbornness was his greatness, and now it has been his downfall. But for him to be able to have a game where he scores 36 points and like just crams it with the right hand
Yep.
driving dunk, like it's still nice to see. But he
Are
will
there any?
go on.
Yeah, you go.
No,
No, I
you
was going to
please.
say, are there any players that you don't root for?
Yeah, if they've done some crappy off the court stuff. And Derrick Rose has done some not good stuff, and we don't have to get into that. But
Yeah.
I don't out and out root for a guy like Rudy Gobert. He doesn't seem like, but I'm the worst I am about most athletes is ambivalence. Unless you've done some absolute thumbs down fuck shit, like something violent, or something against women or something like that. If you're Floyd Mayweather, like fuck that guy. But
Yeah.
most athletes I'm rooting for, you know?
Yep.
And basketball players, it seems like they do less fuck shit than football players, at least. And the Lakers, after trading Russell Westbrook and getting first trading for Rui Hachimura and then trading for Jared Vanderbilt and
Getting D'Lo back.
Malik Beasley, D'Angelo Russell, having actual guys who can be role players on a team right back. Yeah, because D'Angelo Russell was originally Laker. Makes them, and most importantly, Anthony Davis coming back and playing great.
Yep.
Most importantly, he should scare him even more than LeBron, but also LeBron should just scare most of the West. And
Yeah.
the idea that they can just beat this depleted and reeling and spiraling Timberwolves team and then play a Memphis Grizzlies team that doesn't have Steven Adams or Brandon Clark,
Boom.
their two starting bigs, that is an incredible potential roadmap for them to get to the second round and play the winner of the 3-6 matchup, which is the Warriors and could be the Sacramento Kings, you know?
Yeah. Who do you got? Okay, let's go broader playoffs. Walk me through your first round picks.
Very, very quickly, let's just go over the six play-in games that are going to happen and pick our winner for. We agree that
Okay.
the Lakers are going to beat the Timberwolves. Yes, we agree on that.
Yep.
And we
Yep.
think they're going to cover that 8-point spread. We agree. Elliot Bruce, our very good
Yep.
friend. Friend of the pod
Hot
texted
off the
that
presses.
saying that the Minnesota Timberwolves plus eight is the lock of the century, which is classic Elliott stuff.
I
I hope.
disagree. He's a flamethrower. He's
Elliott, he is a
he
flamethrower.
yeah, he's a he he's a shit he strikes me as a shit stirrer. That's a very
He just says stuff.
Timberwolves plus eight. No, he's a big time get a rise out of you type of guy. And I wish he was on with us right now, but
I really wish he was on with us, but he is a newborn. Shout out to Elliott and shout out to young
I
Vermont Bruce. Beautiful.
shout out. I mean, how tiring must that be?
I cannot imagine, Sam. I can't
Like
imagine.
our cats, well, actually, our cats wake us up at like 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, little stinker boys.
Yeah, and we can't lock them out of the room because we don't have the heart to do it.
So we agree that the Lakers are going to beat the Timberwolves. Elliot thinks that the Timberwolves are at least going to cover. We disagree about Pelicans Thunder. I think the Pelicans are going to win, and you think the Thunder are going to win, yes?
Yep.
So in theory, whether it's if it's Thunder Wolves, I think the Wolves win that game with Gobert back. Excuse me, I picked the Pelicans. So it's Pelicans Wolves. I think that the Wolves win that game with Gobert back and the Wolves are the eight. What say you about, oh, hold the phone here, Sam. I believe we
Yep.
have a new contender entering the ring. Is Elliot Bruce there? Elliot Bruce.
I just want to say
yo.
that everybody's sleeping on the Timberwolves.
Oh man, you are just that you're just stirring the pot here. This is
Elliot,
bad advice. This is really bad advice.
Elliot, you have just woken up. You have a several week old child in the household with you. Can you tell us why the Timberwolves are going to cover plus eight against the Lakers? The
Well,
people are waiting with bated.
first of all, because they're going to win the game.
Oh my goodness.
And second of all, because
That
they're going to win it by double digits.
that is just absolute Matt, that's baby brain. I think you have what we're clinically calling baby brain, where your baby keeps you up in odd hours of the night. How often are you getting up, Elliot? Quickly, how often are you getting up throughout the night for the baby? Is it as bad as people say?
It's horrible.
We have a broken man on this call.
It's frequent, I'll tell you.
Frequent.
Oh my
So
God.
you think that no Jaden McDaniels, no Naz Reid, no Rudy Gobert, the Timberwolves beat the Lakers in LA by double digits?
Listen, you get some Taurean Prince minutes going on. Sprinkle a little Austin Rivers in there.
Austin Rivers,
That's the
deep
worst
cut.
kind of seasoning I've ever heard.
Who's the guy
Delicious.
McLaughlin? I actually enjoy McLaughlin off the bench, but and you know Mike Conley and some slow-mo Kyle Anderson. You would need Karl-Anthony Towns to significantly outplay Anthony Davis, which I.
You remember that picture of Jordan McLaughlin getting an absolute shoe to the face, and just his jaws like on the other side of the court. Yeah.
No. So, Elliot, is that all you came to say? Do you have any predictions for any of the other play-in games for Hawks Heat, for Pelicans Thunder, for Raptors Bulls?
I feel like I'm a little bit influenced because I'm rooting heavily for the Bulls, and I'm rooting heavily against the Heat because I have them Bulls making the playoffs and the Heat missing the playoffs.
Oh, as terms of
So I
bets you've
can't.
made.
Yeah, made them a while ago,
So
basically when,
really, Elliot is rooting for himself, which is important. It's
Well,
important to root for yourself.
because both of those teams are going to get just absolutely pummeled in the first round anyway. No matter who wins in the East, I think that I really do think the Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves or the Lakers have a good shot at making a series of it against the Grizzlies. But
Right, the Grizzlies without it's so much of their identity to me is the toughness and therefore the rebounding. But Clark and Adams being gone, Adams was having a great offensive rebounding season. I understand that Jaren Jackson Jr. is maybe minute by minute the best defender in the NBA, but if he's going to get in foul trouble and his foul rate is alarming, then they're not going to be able to play bigs behind him. What are they going to play, David Roddy? Are they going to play Conchar? Like it's not going to work, I don't think.
I don't know. I mean, they're still a good team, but I have a I have a lot of faith in Anthony Edwards. I just think he's like
that's, it's fair.
Current day
it's
Kobe.
Fair.
That is the other thing. So you would have to have what number of points are Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards going to have to combine for to beat the Lakers in LA? How many points?
65.
50. Right. Actually, I think that's about right. 65, 32, 33 apiece. That
I think it's very possible.
That could. I don't see it. Sam and I predictably like the favored Lakers in LA. Yeah.
I like the Lakers moving on to the second round of the playoffs, honestly. Like breezing through the play-in.
And
beating the Grizzlies.
I would really, really like to see Dylan Brooks beat the Lakers and like talk some crap to LeBron's face, because it would just be so funny.
He's unhinged to me. But in a good way. In a good way. I feel like that's the spice we need. Like every once in a while there's like a rivalry in golf and you're like, that's the spice that I need. You know, like his demeanor and just his, like, I don't know, he's unafraid. He's totally unhinged. I love it.
Elliot, who would you put Karl-Anthony Towns on Anthony Davis in this game?
You have to.
That is the answer. You do have to. What on earth do you do if Karl-Anthony Towns gets an early foul trouble? What do you do?
You got to leave him out there and just hope. Hope he doesn't foul out.
No.
What do you mean?
You just got to double Anthony Davis, don't you? You have to have Kyle Anderson on him, and you have to.
I believe AJ. When you leave a guy out there in foul trouble, it actually looks really good for the coach. I think. The broadcasters are always like, he's got faith in his players.
So you're saying for the optics that Minnesota Timberwolves coach Chris Finch should just leave foul machine Karl-Anthony Towns out there just to flail around?
Yes.
It's a gamble, and you need to make gambles.
You do need to make gambles. They're going to have to shoot a ton of threes, and whatever offensive production Mike Conley has left in that old body, he's got to summon that up too. Anthony Edwards is going to have to shoot 10, 12 free throws and play like him and Kat are going to have to play LeBron and AD to a draw.
That is not happening.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay. Well,
but I will take, though, as a solidarity bet, I'll throw some money on T-Wolves +8, whatever it is.
I don't know. Are we really just like buying into the Lakers at this point? We're like, yeah, they got rid of Russell Westbrook, so they're good now.
They've been good.
They've had a really good defense since Anthony Davis has come back, and they're just, you just can't even think or consider about what the team was when they had Russ before they made those trades and before AD came back. You have to think about what they are right now.
Different team.
Good. They're good.
Love me some Rui Hachimura.
I admit I don't like Hachimura, but
like Hachimura. Why don't you like Hachimura?
He doesn't do all that much. He's got a great frame. His body looks amazing. He looks like he should be a guy, but he really just sort of takes jump shots and goes up and down the court. I'm just
not in on this team.
Look, Elliot, as somebody who's a diehard Celtics fan, I love laughing at Lakers pain and Lakers fans pain, but they're gonna beat the Wolves. And with that, we should make some playoff predictions before we get out of here on this pod. Elliot, do you have any spicy takes for the Western Conference playoffs? Any spice?
I mean,
in terms of who's going to come out, in terms of an upset that may or may not happen, a team to go further than you might expect.
Not really. I mean, I really do think the Timberwolves have a shot at making some noise, despite you not being a believer.
Well, if
but that's I would, that's the
Kings
only
beat spicy. The Warriors.
I'd be I I
yeah I don't understand how the Kings are underdogs to the Warriors. That seems crazy to me.
That is crazy that you don't understand why they're underdogs.
Well,
I understand
like
why
Steph
they're
Curry.
Underdogs, but I just think, what, this was a historic offense? Okay, defense not great.
The defense
historic
is good.
Offense,
They're
though,
playing
right?
defending champs who have one of the greatest players ever on their team, and they have Andrew Wiggins back. And in the 300 plus minutes that Curry, Klay, Draymond, Looney, and Wiggins played together, they were the best lineup in the NBA. And if those five guys are out there as starters,
yeah,
they should be favorites.
And they got to play four games in Sacramento.
I need Sacramento to win game one of that series, at least.
It's gonna be a six game series at the very least.
I mean, AJ.
Elliot,
you got the Kings, right? You got the Kings beating the Warriors. Yeah.
In five.
That's okay. Okay.
What are you talking about?
Elliot, I can only back you up for so
De'Aaron
long.
De'Aaron Fox is like the clutchest player we've seen in 20 years.
That's true. And also, like, he's going to be going up against Steph, right?
Yeah, Steph. Terrible defender.
Like, he's got something to prove.
He's not a terrible.
He's got something to prove, too.
I love De'Aaron Fox. I love De'Aaron Fox a lot. I love Sabonis. I love Malik Monk. I Harrison Barnes. Like a bunch of the guys on that team. I love the Kings. And I love the idea of them, you know, having a great season and breaking their playoff drought. And they are, if Wiggins is playing and that lineup is playing, they are not beating the Warriors. They could, but they're not going to.
Well, and this is why we play the games.
This is why we play the games. And I'll tell you this, I'm super duper excited. I'm super duper excited.
Light the beam.
Light the beam. Hashtag
light the beam. Light the beam.
Look, I'm
light
in.
The beam.
Sam, what say you in terms of who comes out of the Western Conference?
Kings. Well, okay. First of all, just back to the Kings for 1 second. Kings have one of the best vibes of the Western Conference teams.
Yes.
Just because of light the beam. Just because
best,
of their
best
their,
vibe.
They've got a good vibe, right?
Best.
I think the Suns are coming out of the West.
Yeah.
I think the Suns are coming out of the West. I mean, come on. They're the best four seed.
It is a fun thing for pundits to be able to say, hey, the Suns have not lost with Kevin Durant in the lineup.
I know, they love saying that.
Turns out that
no,
guy's
but I
pretty
think,
good.
It turns out he's pretty good. I think the Suns have the best chance to get out of the West. I
agree.
Also think their championship odds are up there. I think they're like top five at Caesar Sportsbook or something. I can't remember what their odds are, but
Elliot, do you agree that the Suns are coming out of the West?
I do.
Yeah.
Although I don't know. I think it's gonna be whoever wins in the Nuggets Suns series.
You can guess me and the way I lean with predictions and the way I do things, Elliot. Who take a wild guess as to who I'm picking to come out of the West.
Whoever is the one seed.
That would be the number one seed Denver Nuggets, and you're damn right I'm picking the Nuggets to make the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
wait,
I think it's whoever wins that series.
So wait, we're gonna get a Nuggets Suns second round series.
Yeah, man.
If potentially, yeah. unless Kawhi outduels KD and the Clippers,
not gonna
the
happen.
Suns, which I don't
that's
see
not happening. Happening.
Suns in four.
Okay, who do we got? Oh, you are crazy.
And the other side of the bracket would be Lakers.
I think the Clippers win a game or two.
Yeah.
In that series, no. I think they could win a game or two.
I don't know.
I agree.
I think probably Suns in five. I think the Clippers probably take it in that series.
I don't know. Russell Westbrook is just going to tank them.
He is liable to tank a playoff game. Russell Westbrook.
He's going
to
be like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Who do we got coming out of the East?
This
is a tough one.
Celtics.
The Eastern Conference, by many of the metrics and the numbers, has the three best teams in the league on it, in the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers. The Cleveland Cavaliers had the number one defense, and the Cavaliers-Knicks series was a lot more entertaining on paper before Julius Randle got nicked up. And that
good one. Good joke.
It nicked up. Oh God. And I want us to have that 1-4 Bucks, Cavs, Celtics, Sixers second rounds, and to see Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and Mobley and Jared Allen and just do everything they can to try and stop the Giannis avalanche. The absolute.
There's just no way that any of the 5, 6, 7, or 8 seed wins any of those series.
It doesn't seem like you would have said that the Knicks had the best chance, but I certainly don't see the Nets or whoever comes out of the play-in, the Heat, even the very, very best version of the Heat, I don't think can beat the Celtics unless multiple Celtics go down with injuries, you know?
Yeah, like 7 Celtics players.
I'm just glad the Celtics aren't going to have to go up against the Cavs. Unless...
Dude, the Sixers are so good.
The Sixers are so good, Sam. They're so good.
Yeah, but the Sixers are going to win. They're going to win the Nets series.
Uh-huh.
I am more afraid of the Sixers than the Bucks.
That's ridiculous.
I am not. I am equally not as afraid of either of them.
You're crazy.
I appreciate.
No, I feel like we match up well against both of them. I feel like we have the Sixers number. Our vibes are way better than the Sixers vibes. Like, if I were a Sixers fan, I would say the Celtics vibes are better than the Sixers vibes.
Bro, how many Sixers games did you watch this year?
A good
Joel Embiid is vibes.
Joel Embiid is vibes.
He's also amazing. So lovable. How could anybody not root for that guy?
No, he's Joel Embiid is vibes, but the team as a whole, I feel like the Celtics have their number. I feel like it's a mental thing.
The Celtics, I hate saying we. I'm going to correct myself. The Celtics, I postulate the theory to you that if Robert Williams plays every playoff game, the Celtics are going to beat the Sixers, beat the Bucks, and beat whoever that comes out of the West and win the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, he's a big X factor.
And the problem is that is a massive, massive if with that man. If any Celtics fans are listening to this podcast, just go to bed and manifest the most perfect Robert Williams health you possibly can through these playoffs.
I mean, if we win the first two games against the Heat at home, right? Are we resting Rob Williams?
Yes.
Seriously, for a game.
Yeah. Load management in the middle of a playoff series.
I'm serious because the playoff, like our road to the finals is going through the Sixers and the Bucks. Those are going to be some series.
It's so exciting.
I think we should rest alternately Tatum and Brown for the first round series. Don't play Rob. And
you know what?
Rotate Brogdon and
that.
Smart for resting as well.
I'm actually, Elliot, I'm into that.
and then we'll still sweep them in 4, but we'll only win by a margin of like 6 on average.
Yeah, it's going to be like
the confidence.
A nail biter, until free throws.
Yeah. It'll be like a nail biter.
No,
I
like sitting Rob. I like sitting Rob for that whole series.
I'm gonna text.
You just sold
text
me on
our
that.
Coach right
Get
now.
That man some rest.
Yeah, Elliot's gonna text Rob Williams. He has Rob's number.
No.
Yep, he's got Time Lord's number. He's the Time Lord.
No, you don't.
We all have Time Lord's number.
I'm gonna go yo Mazzules.
Yeah,
Mazzules.
Text Joey Maz. The Celtics Sixers in your head is the reason why you'd pick the Celtics because of James Harden's playoff failures of the past. Is that why you would take it, or is it because you don't think that the Sixers have the perimeter defenders to stay in front of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
Well, that, I mean, it's an amalgamation of a bunch of different things, but that the perimeter defense, it's really just from watching the Celtics play the Sixers in the playoffs, you know, in past years. Like, we're a better team now. Our vibes are better, and
you're
we beat them
the
in the past.
Yeah,
I'm picking them on the vibes. We ranked
the eight play-in teams based on vibes.
Who's the bottom vibes?
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh my god, you're ridiculous.
No, dude, how are they not the worst vibes?
Did you see Rudy Gobert punch Kyle Anderson and Jaden McDaniels break his hand punching a wall? Did you see that?
No, when was that?
That happened.
This is objective. This is not up for discussion.
There's nothing up for discussion. Who has the worst vibes of any of these 20 playoff teams? It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Minnesota Timberwolves have been a franchise for 34 years. This is their 34th season since 89-90. They've made the playoffs.
I think the Raptors have the worst vibes.
They've made the playoffs 10 times in their 34-year history, and they've made it out of the first round once.
It's
a poverty franchise, like you said.
Best play-in vibes, easily the Thunder.
We were saying that after the Lakers, the Thunder had the best. We were saying that.
Yeah. Thunder's the top three at least vibes of the playing teams.
We enjoy the Thunder, and I cannot wait to see them with Holmgren and all the young guys getting better, Giddy, Jalen Williams, etc. But I
was on that team early this year.
I know, Al.
Early.
Back to Celtics Sixers, right? What playoff series did the Sixers drop the confetti?
It was 2018 Game 3.
That forever for me is like the Celtics have an edge on the Sixers. They dropped the confetti prematurely. That was one of the most embarrassing moments in sports that I've ever seen.
And
so that is an edge. That's always going to be an edge.
This sort of is a decent springboard for just a discussion about how much do past series between two teams matter when there's so few dudes who are playing. You know what I mean? How many Sixers? Embiid is the only guy on the team who was on the team in 2018.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, it's huge. No, it's purely you ask the universe and the universe answers. You know, it's very much of a top level energy vibes thing that follows you around. So like the Sixers and Sixers fans, they are nervous playing the Celtics. They're always going to be, we're their daddy. They're going to be nervous playing the Celtics. That energy is out in the universe, and it just, you can feel it. It's palpable.
It does manifest itself that way sometimes. It's funny because I want to push back on you and say that, when the Celtics swept the Sixers in the bubble, that Kemba Walker was the starting point guard,
Yeah. No. It's true. It's true. But like this is not a good example, but like anytime the Celtics play the Warriors, like that is just a toss-up game. You have no idea if the Celtics are going to come to play because it feels totally mental. The Sixers are different this year. They're different this year. They got an MVP.
He's going to win it. And we all agree he's going to win MVP.
He's going to win MVP. He's one of the most dominant players I've ever seen watching basketball. And when he gets to a spot, it's like, I mean, when they played the Seas earlier this month, like, what did he go from the field? Like 21 to 24?
He went 20 of 25 from the field for 50
insane
points. And I mean, something like 15 of those were just free throw line elbow jumpers.
And they were all bottom of the net. I didn't see him miss. He clearly missed a couple shots. I didn't see them. Imagine watching a game where everything goes in. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah. That's like Kevin Durant every time.
He really is. On his best night, he is a thick Durant, and he has little moves. He has one dribble pull-ups. It just makes no sense that he's that silky, being 7'2" and 280 or whatever he is. It's amazing.
And then our guy too, friend of the pod, George Niang.
Yeah, Niang.
A friend of the pod.
What are you talking? How's he a friend of the friend of the pod?
So one of our close friends, Cal, is good friends with George Niang. So
that's amazing.
So I've been watching a lot of Sixers games this year just out of interest. But
Niang, let
me tell you, he does, and it's, I mean, I don't feel like he's been playing that well lately. But I did, when he told me that he was friends with George Niang at the beginning of the season, I was going on Twitter searching for his name and seeing Sixers fans just drag the shit out of him.
What?
Yeah, it was...
Sixers fans, man.
Sports fans are fickle. We're fickle individuals. But
But
to get back to the main point, so you two picked the Suns and I picked the Nuggets in the West. Are we all picking the Celtics? Are we all picking that nobody here is going to pick the best player in the world? Nobody's picking Giannis to come out of the East?
It feels like, I mean,
Giannis
it feels
is cooked.
Like we can be feels like it feels like it beat the Bucks on home court to me. I think that series is a 7-game series.
Dude,
I think it's the conference
I think
finals.
The Cavs, here's my hot take. I think the Cavs beat the Bucks.
No way. I think they take like two. I think they take two games. I think it's a 6-game series.
I'm just telling you now.
I would just be so stupefied if the Bucks lost to the Cavs. I think it would take an
Cavs
injury.
Cavs in six.
I love this, Ella. This is why we have you on, man. This is why
I would love to see it. I would love to see it, but you know who the only team that I'm really afraid of, and this is irrational, the Cavs.
What?
I don't want to see the Cavs. I don't want to see the
Cavs. Cavs Celtics in the East Finals. It's
I don't
so want to
see that series. That is going to be a tight series. I'm telling you, it's and this is just based on the vibes. It's just based on the mojo.
We're
going
to get
matchup.
To the East Finals, and you're going to be like, wow, this is going to be a great series.
Against the Bucks, it is going to be a great
Cavs.
Series. Giannis Antetokounmpo, have you forgotten? Have you just forgotten? Do you remember what it was like to play against Giannis, for the Celtics to play against Giannis in the second round last year?
All right.
That dude
never
stops coming.
You're forgetting about the most important team in the playoffs, the referees. And the referees are going to call some offensive fouls on Giannis because he just offensive fouls the shit out of everybody.
He does. He extends the arm more than I've seen anyone else.
And you know who's going to draw those? The best defensive team in the league, the Cavs.
That's true. Hey, I hope you're right. That's
Elliot.
A good point.
I don't analysis. Hashtag
and then
analysis.
when it comes time for the Celtics and the Bucks to play in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know who's going to be taking the charges at that point?
Blake Griffin.
Our guy, Blake Griffin. The vibes king.
The dunk champion.
Yeah, slam
he
dunk
should be
champion.
Inducted. He could be inducted into the Celtics Hall of Fame at some point. Just based on the vibes, right? Like, he's just like a good fit.
He's like our scal of this year.
Of any?
Yeah, except for I feel like he's better than Scal, right, at that point.
A couple of things, friends, before we get out of here. Sam, Elliot, I got to keep the train on the tracks. I love you both very much. Two questions. One, what single series between two teams are you most looking forward to, potentially, and what matchup is it?
In any round?
In any round. It's a tough call. Because there are just so many fun teams and so many fun potential matchups.
Oh, man. I've got three.
I got to be honest. I think Celtics-Cavs would be the best, most fun matchup.
Realistic ones.
Truth of his word. Hey, it could happen.
Oh, my God.
It could happen. Sam, rattle them off.
I'm expecting text messages once we play them in the East Finals.
Oh, we'll
absolutely.
Be in the chat.
Absolutely.
We'll be in the chat.
Okay. A preview pod where I eat my words. I'll print out a transcript of this talk and dip it in barbecue sauce and eat it.
Okay.
Honestly, I'll narrow it down after this, but the 2 through the 7 seed matchups in the West, love all of them. But I think Suns Clippers, Warriors Grizzlies, Cavs Knicks. And that's it. First round.
I have come up with a really fun one that is unlikely but would be amazing. Kings Suns.
Kings Suns is fun. The two that came to mind for me, other than the obvious one, which is just Celtics Bucks. That's the Celtics Bucks has been we've been headed that way.
God, it's just so boring.
It's not boring.
It's not boring. It's a heavyweight fight, man.
Yeah, that's a knockout. That's a drag out.
Possibly be bored by those two teams playing.
It's the two best teams in the league playing
the
each other to go to the finals.
The two best teams to see who is the dominant team in green. Who's the green team? Okay.
You know what? If the Bucks even like Those blue jerseys are atrocious. I'm just going to say it. Those blue jerseys fucking suck. They should get rid of those things. It doesn't make any sense to me. Makes no sense.
The Cream City ones have grown on me for the Bucks.
Cream City ones are good.
I'm down. I'm down for those.
Celts in their green with the Bucks and their Cream City ones. Pretty good.
The Celtics should just not fuck around and just go home white, road green the entire playoffs. I know they won't.
Okay.
They got the
last thing, I promise. If we're just choosing which mascot wins in a fight, who's winning the finals?
The Grizzlies.
I don't even know what their mascot is.
It's a grizzly.
Memphis Grizzly.
Is it a bear?
It's a grizzly bear.
Not only are you not going to sleep with the baby,
what does he look like? What does he look like? I'm just
fucking
tired.
Grizzly bear.
Dude, did you not see that leprechaun in Mobile, Alabama?
It's like a grizzly.
It's a grizzly.
What's the Lakers mascot? Is it just a big lake?
It's a lake. Maybe the lake.
No.
The lake would beat the grizzly
bear. Do they not have a mascot?
The lake.
We went to a Clippers game recently, and it was their mascot's birthday, and Lucky
was there.
It's
a bird.
The Lakers mascot is a bird?
No, the Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers mascot is a bird. Anyway.
What's his name?
Clippy.
Clippy. Is it Clippy?
I don't know.
How does the Microsoft Word paperclip feel about this? Clippy.
Dude, the Lakers do not have a mascot.
They don't have a mascot.
How can you possibly call them top fives? They don't even have a fucking mascot.
The lake, man.
What are the Warriors?
Okay,
the California
guys,
sunshine.
Warriors mascot. The Clippers mascot is Chuck the Condor.
Yes, it is Chuck the Condor. That's right.
And
Chuck.
We went to his birthday on February 29th, 2023. He had just turned 7. And Lucky was there. The actual Lucky.
Okay.
To celebrate.
Yes.
They had like 5 random mascots to celebrate with him, and they all did dunks. It was a lot of fun.
That is really funny.
You know the worst mascot in the league?
Is Stuff the Magic Dragon for the Magic?
No, it's just the Brooklyn Net.
Yeah. I thought they had
a net.
No,
I'm just kidding. I don't even know if
they have a
knight
mascot.
I thought that they had like a knight mascot. Anyway, the two series that I want the most I can't believe we haven't mentioned it. Is Kevin Durant against the Warriors, man? Suns Warriors.
God, they do have a night.
Kevin Durant has not played a game at the new Warriors Arena with fans since he left the team.
I heard somewhere that KD hasn't played on the floor against LeBron since 2018.
And that's also could we get KD LeBron one more time, man? Like,
oh, that'd be amazing.
I'm so
is that not going to be?
It would no.
Seven.
It would be the conference finals. It would be Suns Lakers.
Oh, jeez, that could happen. Not impossible.
It could totally happen.
Impossible.
Okay, wait. This I just want to go back. I know we're a little off the rails here, but this is going to be fine. The Brooklyn Nets mascots. The Brooklyn Nets, I think, have an identity crisis. Because here are their last 3 mascots. Duncan the Dragon.
Uh-huh.
Again, not sure how that relates to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
The Brooklyn Knight, fine, right? He's a knight. Sly the Silver Fox.
Ay, ay, ay. Make up your mind.
What is going on? Did they hire like a new marketing agency every couple years, and they're just like, oh yeah, here you go. Sly the Silver Fox.
You think Kyrie had any input on Sly the Silver Fox?
I hope that Kyrie doesn't have any input anywhere.
Last thing. Who wins the 2022-2023 NBA
title?
Wait
a minute. Hold on. The Toronto Raptor wins in a fight. Are you kidding me?
No, I don't know.
The guy's a goddamn dinosaur.
Grizzlies
are
huge, man.
Yeah, a grizzly could probably beat a raptor. Probably.
Probably.
Oh my goodness.
And then also, like do any mascots have a gun? Because that's
Cavaliers, the Cleveland Cavaliers is a Cavalier.
I think. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh no, fair enough. They got a sword.
Turns out velociraptors weighed only up to 100 pounds. So exactly. You're right.
A grizzly bear can be up to 1,300 pounds.
They are big, dude. Big boys.
They're how about huge. The pelicans?
Come on, pelican.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Please, both of you, for the who's going to win the title?
Pierre, the mascot.
Who's going to win the title? I think if the Celtics make it to the finals this year, they win the finals.
Celtics.
I'd like to retract my earlier statement that Sam and I made when we said we were doing this podcast without green goggles on because
but
Rob Williams plays every playoff game. The Celtics are winning the title. They're my pick.
No, I don't even think it's green goggles. They're the second best team in the league, objectively.
Mm-hmm.
They have the second best record in the league. The Bucks Celtics is just very slightly a toss up between the two teams. I think the Celtics have an edge. I think they can beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee. And if they make it to the finals, I think that the Celtics are winning the title this year. If the Bucks make it's the title, the NBA champion is coming out of the East. Let's just say that.
I think whomever comes out of the East would, assuming it's the Celtics, Bucks, or Sixers, would be favored over whomever made it out of the West.
Yep.
Good grammar.
Thank you. Elliot, Sam, I love you both. I appreciate you coming on the pod. As always, you can listen to all episodes of Fighting Fire with Fire at soundcloud.com/Fighting Fire with Fire. Follow us on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. I would say email us or Instagram us, but I deleted all that shit because we haven't done the pod in God knows how long. We'll see if this fucking thing gets up on online. You know. Also, we have to save the best for last. The mortal enemy of this podcast and of all things good in the world, Mitch McConnell, fell down a month ago and got a bad concussion and apparently may have to retire early, and it may have given him some brain damage.
We have, you know, conservatives on Twitter have been asking the question, where's Mitch McConnell? I've seen it.
And all I have to say to that, like I said on Twitter, is that if Mitch McConnell spends the rest of his life as a drooling vegetable, it's still better than he deserves. Die alone, you miserable, evil fuck. Fuck Mitch McConnell. We will see you guys next time on Fighting Fire with Fire. Cheers.